You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
Thank you for joining me today with the Salon Owners Collective Grow Beyond Owner Operator podcast. In today's episode, I interview Christy McKenzie from Melbourne, Australia, an ex-salon owner who now has the Secret Salon Society. Now, the Secret Salon Society is a community of salon owners, but also Christy provides the industry with some great business growth tools. Today, she shares her top three business tips, not only from her own experience as a salon owner, but from her time helping other business owners grow their business and succeed. So thank you for joining me. Let's jump right into my interview with Christy. Christy, thank you so much for joining me today on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you.
Thank you for having me, Larissa. Very, very happy to be here.
We've been trying to track each other down to do this episode for a while, so I'm pleased we have got together and done it just before Hair Expo.
I know. It's good. We're, busy, busy ladies.
That's right. Well, that's a good segue to why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, and you are a qualified hairdresser, but tell us your journey from being a hairdresser to what you're doing now with the Secret Salon Owner Society.
Okay, sure. So I started hairdressing at my little local salon, shampooing on a Saturday when I was about 15. Mm-hmm. And I did my apprenticeship after I finished year 12. That was the parents' rules around the apprenticeship, that I must finish my schooling. Mm-hmm. So I started at 18 and loved everything about it. I was really fortunate enough to be trained by somebody that had just returned from working in London. So back in the late 90s, Vidal Sassoon was, I guess, he still is, but everything in the industry. And she was had worked for Vidal Sassoon over in London for years. So really lucky to have landed some really good quality training in a very suburban salon. I got sick when I was about 19. I developed rheumatoid arthritis and had to stop hairdressing for about 6 months. And I vividly remember we had a client that had rheumatoid arthritis, and her hands were like fists. They were all knotted up with her arthritis. And I had a moment where I thought, she's got nothing else to talk about except for her disease. Like, it literally, at age 19, and I was terrified because I thought I'd been told I'd be work disabled within 10 years and all this stuff. And I looked at her and I thought, no wonder she's got it. She's got nothing else to talk about. Like, she actually, that was her life, was her disease. Mm. And I made a conscious decision at that time that I'm not going to focus on it, that this is not going to be my fate, and I'm going to not let that control me. So I went about finding out why I contracted it in the first place. Look, that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. But look, at the long and the short of it is that I'm completely fine. So I haven't had any issues since. I had a flare up in a toe about 10 years ago, but 20 years on nearly from that diagnosis, and I'm completely fine. I've never really been on long-term medication. So you can call it luck or you can call it mind over matter. But from there, and having a bit of a break from hairdressing, I guess, helped me to see the big world. I did a little bit of office admin stuff, and I remember being paid $32,000 a year to do some office work. And there was about 10 of us or so in the office, and I remember thinking, how does this business afford to pay anyone like that? For me, was honestly the most money I could even imagine ever getting paid, $32,000. And I was just thinking, gosh, that's so much money, and how does this business afford all of us? And I assumed that we were all on the same pay, which is even funnier again because I was clearly at the bottom of the food chain. I guess that gave me a bit of a business, the administration. And look, I was either going to be an accountant or a hairdresser, so I do have that side of the brain that needs to be tapped into on occasion. Yeah. And look, you know, ended up back in hairdressing, managed some pretty nice salons, always contracted or rented a chair. I never really was employed. I liked to have control over my my hours and my column and my days and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, thought I knew it all, set up my salon at age 28. In a very, just around the corner from my house. I always loved this shop. It was removed from the main drag and it was just on its own, which is very typical of my personality. And I like to do my own thing. I don't like to get too caught up in what everybody else is doing and drama and politics. I like to just stay doing my thing. So, you know, that made sense. And of course I took on this shop. It was a plumber's, a roof plumber's office, and was full of stuff when I took over the lease. I couldn't really see how big the space was. And we opened the doors and it was massive. This shop was actually really big. And I had plans of just doing, like, my vision, my business plan was to just do a few clients a day. And basically I was going to start at 10, finish at 4, put a roast dinner on the table every night. That was kind of the plan. and then when I opened the doors to this massive shop, I just thought, oh my goodness me. So we fit 13 stations in the end. So it wasn't a little shop at all. It was big. So, and look, the business grew rapidly and I pretty much chased my tail the whole time because that was never in the plan. And I guess you're going along with all the excitement and you're going along just with the buzz of it all. But then what happens is you end up with a business that's not yours, and you're looking around thinking, how did I end up here? I'm so stressed out. There's, you know, I've got a wonderful team and I've got wonderful clients, but I am still chasing my tail. And financially, you know, paying the tax every month was always my biggest hurdle. Now, what I know now is that I just should put prices up 10%, you know, and start my way. Done. But at the time there was, you know, you can't see the forest when you're in the trees. So, you know, there was a lot of reactive decision making, you know, like I'd see, I don't know, something cool on Instagram. And then I'm like, okay, cool. We all need to be taking photos this way. And then I had a big picture in my head, but I wasn't ever great at training my team. I just would sort of tell them what to do and then carry on. But that was probably my biggest weakness, was actually in that kind of stuff. So the managing of the business I struggled with and always chased my tail with. And I, remember I was having a conversation with my brother, and the family business is earth moving equipment repairs and maintenance, and they also sell new machines. They've got a dealership. So they just implemented this 5-year service plan. And I remember thinking, that's cool. So what happens is, you know, they buy a machine and then they pay $100 a month or whatever it is, and they can, whenever they need their diggers service, they just bring them in and it's all paid for. And for my parents' business, or my brother and dad's business, it ended up changing their business so they could predict a lot more accurately how many staff they needed. They had the regular cash flow coming in. They put on another apprentice to sort of manage the workload because they knew that they had a lot more, I guess, control over the financial side of things. And I thought, how can I make this work in hairdressing? Because that sounded good to me. If I didn't have to worry so much about the daily financial stuff, if I could just do my thing, cutting hair and, you know, bits and pieces that I was doing, coming up with the marketing ideas and all that stuff, which I loved, and then the money stuff, that tax and all those issues were just going to be paid for every month, that to me made sense. So my goal was to make $30,000 a year in memberships. That was my first KPI that I set myself. Yep. And we hit that within a few weeks of launching the memberships. So that for me meant my rent was covered and all of my set overheads that I didn't, or that I had control over. So not including wages and stock and tax, but the set ones, they were all taken care of. So I knew that even if I just put that membership money away to the side, that that was going to pay all those bills. And then the next KPI was to cover tax, which is obviously another 10%. So in the end, we ended up, I think we're sitting at around the $120,000 mark with our memberships, which equated to about 15% of our business. So not a huge percentage. But I was pretty happy with that. That was a couple of thousand dollars every week coming in, and that just went away and served its purpose. Because I learned from a good friend of mine, Jess Giles, that money has to have a purpose, and if you don't give it a purpose, then it just gets spent. So it's totally true. We all want to have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars or whatever in the bank account, but reality is it's that money actually has to have a purpose. So it's better off being, you know, invested or whatever, not being, you know, not being just frittered away. So that was really, really good. And then that allowed me, so I set it up with the intention to sell. I'd had enough and I wanted to have I wanted to have more than goodwill. I was very aware that the business was located in a very small little country sort of village area. There were like, you know, it's about an hour out of Melbourne. It wasn't really the sort of, like, you couldn't command good, like, big money for a salon, but I thought if I can at least have this membership base, then that's going to, my business is going to be valued a lot higher by a potential buyer. And if they're looking at my salon or another one down the road, mine's going to have more value because there's less risk involved for the new purchaser with the members transferring over. So that's sort of how Secret Salon Society was born. And I sold the salon just on 12 months ago, and I probably got double for it what I would have if not for the membership program, in my opinion. Look, you never know, but that was, you know, I'd had offers in the past and they were about half of what I ended up getting. So what it's done is it's allowed me to completely just, you know that the program works because I've run it in my own salon. I've workshopped all the little issues that pop up. I was the guinea pig, I guess. My salon was the guinea pig. So yeah, I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, now I'm just, you know, at home working from home on Secret Salon with a team of there's six of us now. We're all mums. We all juggle our work in and around our kids, and we can grab our laptops and go, you know, to a winery for the day if we want to, and all work from there. And it's just been awesome. It's been really, really good. So completely the opposite to my salon life, which was quite stressful and full of anxiety.
But now, in fact, you take some of that anxiety away for other salon owners by the Secret Salon Owners Society organises membership programs for other salons.
Yes. So that's what we help other salons do now. So I haven't counted recently, I think we're up nearly around 100 salons on the program across Australia and New Zealand. Definitely there's plans for global domination, but we'll just conquer Australia and New Zealand first.
Yes.
But yeah, look, and it's really, really cool. I think that it's taking off more so this year, I think, with systems like Afterpay and ZipPay that are coming along that are, I'm not sure if you guys have them over there. Have you got OxyPay over there?
I don't think so.
So what that is over in Australia, so I'm sure you would, you'll probably notice it everywhere now, but what it is it allows the customer, so you can go into any shop, you know, clothing, big retail outlets online, you can buy things and you can pay for it on Afterpay or ZipPay or OxyPay. Right. There's all these different ones. And you pay it off. So you get the goods and then you pay it off. And this is sort of same, but different. The system I have, it's more of a long-term decision rather than an impulse buy.
Yeah.
But it's consumer awareness, like a lot more clients are actually asking if salons offer payment plan now, which is perfect for me because we've got it all set up ready to go.
Absolutely.
Because it is a bit tricky putting it together.
So it's about providing convenience for your client, isn't it? I mean, it's convenient for you in the salon to have this money coming in regularly and not having to worry about it. But in fact, it's actually convenient for the client to not have to have a massive $200 or $300 bill every 6 weeks, and they can spread that out over, you know, on a weekly basis or as their pay comes in, right?
Yes, I always say that the program, there's lots in it for the salon owner, obviously. There's also lots in it for the client in that they can, it's not even necessarily a budgeting tool for a lot of them, because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't, they don't, you know, got plenty of money and they don't worry about it. But it's just, it's more that they like feeling like they're part of something that's really different and exclusive. You know, you'll be spoiling your members more, probably a little bit more than you will your normal clients, because they have made that long-term commitment to your salon. Yeah. So I always say there's heaps in it for the salon owners, there's heaps in it for the clients. There's not heaps in it for the staff necessarily. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we help build in incentives and all that kind of stuff. And but it's, I mean, staff come and go, don't they? So at the end of the day, it's your business and your clients, and then your staff. You obviously want them to be loving the program too. And most do. You get the, actually, it's, I've got a funny story about that. You find out who your team players are when you launch a membership program, because the ones that are committed to the salon, they'll sell the memberships. Those that maybe have other plans won't, because they don't want their clients being contracted to the salon. So I found out that, and that was the cause of a lot of anxiety for me when I had my manager of nearly eight years not selling any. And I thought, she was pregnant at the time, and I thought, maybe that's why. But no, in fact, she was setting up her own thing and grooming another staff member. The horror story that was
it. We all have a horror story.
Yes,
so this is a good way to maybe identify it and flush it out.
Yes, well, it's in hindsight now, I think, well, that all makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, okay. Now, look, you've had a wealth of experience in the salon, now helping salons, and I know you've organised some tips for us. So why don't we dive in? I'm dying to hear what your tips are. Tell us, what is your tip number one?
Tip number one is to have a vision, and that can sound a little bit fluffy. So if you prefer to call it a business plan, then call it that. But you really have to know why you're doing what you're doing. So definitely do a business plan, and that keeps accountants and bank managers happy. But your vision should be very visual. It should be everywhere. What are you actually wanting to achieve out of it? Because there's lots of salons in the world and Australia, New Zealand, and I'm not sure about New Zealand, but there's 22,000 salons in Australia. And when you look at the ratio of clients visiting those salons, employees working in those salons, it is, they're like, the percentage is high of what, you know, is probably needed in society. So you really have to know why you're doing it, because just to say, I want to open up my own salon because I don't like my boss or because I think I can do it better, probably isn't going to cut it. You really need to know what's going to make you different and what the vision is. So that would be my number one tip, is get all that out of your brain and onto paper, get a pretty journal or a vision board, you know, whatever floats your boat with that. But you've got to know why. And it's not just, what am I going to do with the money? It's, okay, well, what sort of boss do I want to be? And why do I want to be that sort of boss? And what do I want to provide for my team? And, you know, even down to things like, how does your morning look? You know, are you a get to work early and set up the shop type of person? Or do you want to go to the gym and then get there a bit later? All that sort of stuff, like plan out your day, your ideal day, and have that vision of what it is that you actually want for your business very much in front of mind, because as you get stuck into a business, you will lose that a bit. So it's important to be able to reflect back on, why am I doing this? You know, when you get a big tax bill, you're like, why am I doing this? So
and when your staff member leaves you you need to have a bigger purpose. The two things I love the most out of what you said was, and they're so important and I think is often lost, is what makes you different. Because you're right, there are so many salons out there. What actually, how is a client going to choose to come to you?
Yeah.
Getting really clear on that. What's your point of difference? And the other really empowering thing that you said was, you know, you get to choose your life.
Yeah.
You get to choose, and you should be choosing that first. Choose. Do I want to go to the gym? Do I want to be there in the morning? Actually, choose that first as part of your business plan. I love that. Yeah. I am a big advocate for choose first and build your business around that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. That's right. Yep. All right. That's great. All right. Tell us, what is your next tip? Yeah. So setting goals in concrete, but the time frame for reaching those goals in sand. So the reason for that one is that we are very, as entrepreneurs, I guess we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and we have to remember that it is self-imposed pressure. We don't have a boss saying you must be achieving this by this time. It's all self-imposed. So definitely have your goal. So if you are thinking, okay, I really want to renovate the salon in, you know, June, for example, and you've got that as a plan in your mind, if life happens and it ends up happening in August, you know, that doesn't matter. Yeah. So have your goal, but definitely have the time in sand, because I think that otherwise you'll end up feeling like you've failed, and you'll feel let down, like you'll feel like you've let yourself down, and then you can't, nothing good comes from that place of feeling like a failure. So you know, have your goal, be very set on what it is that you want to achieve, but be a bit flexible with the actual deadline for that goal. That's my second tip.
Yeah, I really like that. Let life unfold, and because stuff's going to happen, isn't it? Life is going to get in the way.
That's right, yes, yeah. Definitely.
I must say that I'm... that's even good advice for me to hear, and I love that set in concrete and put it in sand, because I hate passing my own deadlines. I
was actually hypnotized not long ago, and because I would beat myself up if I didn't say something I had told myself I was going to do, yeah. To the point where, and then you just go through that stage of you just feeling terrible and really, you know, I was hypnotized. And what I learnt was is that, and this is probably, I don't know, another tip or a sideline tip to the three.
2.1.
Is to actually have gratitude and give yourself a break and say, look at everything I've achieved. So if you haven't hit that particular goal at that particular time, just to stop and go, you know what, I need to be very thankful for what I have achieved, and I am amazing, and it doesn't matter, you know, we'll try again next month. So, and I had to learn how to be hypnotized, because I felt like I was not grateful for lots of things, and I'm always looking at my, you know, house that needs renovating and husband that's working too much and I don't know, all the stuff that you just think, negatively towards all the often, and then you don't hit a goal and then you think, oh gosh, you know, that's it, I just quit. Whereas if you just can stop and be grateful, then everything's much easier.
I agree. I love that. I have a little morning routine, and it includes things that I'm grateful for.
Yes.
Because somebody said to me once that anger or those sort of negative emotions and gratitude can't exist.
That's so true.
In the same place. And I thought, yes.
And when everything's going right, we don't feel anger or anything. We're quite happy with the world. But it's only when something, you know, life throws that curved ball that you get yourself into that mindset, it usually is around things that haven't gone our way. And I tell you what, when I remember a midwife told me with my kids when they were little, I have twins, and when they were babies, I was desperately trying to get them into the same routine. And she said, you're upset because they're not doing what you want them to do. Do you think that's ever going to change, Christy? I'm like, oh, no one ever told me about this. I just thought that you get them in a routine and they're robot children, and of course they do. But it's the same with our businesses, you know. It's like it's only when things don't go our own way that we will beat ourselves up. And, you know, I always say if life didn't have curved balls, it would be very boring, actually.
I agree.
you know, then it'd be very boring. So you learn so much when you go through those stressful, awful times, as much as they're horrible to be in. And I know that there are stacks of salon owners in them right now. So just know that when you come out the other side, you will have learnt so much and you'll just keep powering on and you'll be, yeah, it'll sort of just all part of it. Yeah.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's right. Yes.
And sprinkle a touch of gratitude. Sprinkle of gratitude on top.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Be grateful for the bad times. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah, we might have that as one of your quotes.
Okay.
All right. And what's your third tip for us, Christine?
Our third tip is to find your tribe or your network. Because you know, mentors, they don't necessarily have to be, you know, coaches or, you know, those sorts of people. They can just be somebody that you admire, that you, think they're doing a good job in business, to get around those people. Because I find that, whilst bad rubs off, good also rubs off. And, if somebody is where you want to be, and again, it doesn't have to be a salon owner, it could just be anyone in business, then you need to get around them. So if there's networking events, if there's just even opportunities to have a coffee with somebody that you admire, then just to do it. And a classic example of this is I have always admired the Indota spa chain, which I'm not sure if you guys don't have over in New Zealand, but it's the biggest day spa. Think of the most beautiful day spa that you can imagine, and that is Indota. And she's managed to replicate that in over 100 salons in Australia. They're all franchised, and it doesn't matter what one you walk into, it's the same. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And she, I've always had a lot of admiration for her. And I thought to myself, I really want to get to know her, because ideally, I mean, you know, she's in over 100 salons. I have, approximately the same amount of salons on my program. They're not franchises, granted, but a same kind of thing. I just have a lot of admiration for her. And so I did a bit of stalking and found that she was going to be speaking at a lunch not far away from me. So I took the team down, we met her, and then now she's coming to talk at my summit event in July. And I've got a meeting with her down at her head office about the memberships for the Indota chain next week. So definitely putting yourself out there, finding people that are where you want to be is super important, because that's how you get the belief, isn't it? Because if, you know, when you're looking at people from the outside, and they seemingly have a lot of success, you can think, oh, I don't know if I could achieve that, you know, whereas if you actually get around them and learn from them, then it gives you a lot more belief in yourself and your business that you can do it. She started off her first spa with a $5,000 credit card, and now she's worth over $70 million. And the first thing that she spent was getting her money on was getting her logo done. So the power of branding. Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation. But that would be my third tip, is just to find the people, network with them, get around them, and ask questions, learn from them.
And I think also you'll discover that they're actually just people that have ups and downs and challenges and insecurities and all the rest as well.
Oh, I know. Definitely. She told us the funniest story about sticky tape. She absolutely lost the plot with over sticky tape with her kids. She was, you know, as us working parents experience the juggle, you know, all the time. And she's, I can't even imagine her juggle with 1,100 employees in the network.
Yeah.
And she was trying to, they're running late for a birthday present. She was trying to find sticky tape, and the kids had taken sticky tape. So she lost the plot over sticky tape. And then she's like, okay, take a deep breath, Melanie. This is ridiculous. So, yeah, that was humbling to know that, because you would just assume a woman like that would have a PA to buy the gifts, wrap them for you. So all you have to do is just walk out the door.
That's right.
But no, all just normal people.
Everyday sticky tape problems.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah. So I remember a saying of you become like the five people you spend the most time with.
Yes.
Or something like that, the saying goes.
Yes,
like
yes, I remember that.
I think that's a good saying, and that's what you're saying. Find your tribe and the people who are a step ahead of you so they can you can come up to them. You
know? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Great. All right. There are some fantastic tips. So get clear on your vision and your direction and have a very strong why is the number one. And set your goals in concrete, but keep your time in sand. Is that how you said it? I love that. I
think yep, really set awesome. Goals in concrete, but the time frame or deadline in sand. Yep.
Yeah, that's good. And find your tribe. Yes. So thank you so much for that. That's invaluable tips from someone that's been there and done that. Mm-hmm. As we work towards the wrap up, let's. Why don't you share with us? You've given us lots of quotes actually already, just in those tips. But what's one of the tips or mantras that? That keeps you going as an entrepreneur in your business?
So I've always said this, and I don't know why. I mean, there's lots of things to say, but this particular one I think was on my Facebook about me for a while. And it's, if it's to be, it's up to me. And, you know, I haven't made up that quote. That's been around for a while. But the whenever I think to myself, I'm having a moment where, I don't know, it's like you're feeling a bit... woe is me, and you know, you're annoyed at your kids because they're not doing what you want them to, or you're annoyed at your staff because they're not doing what you want. Like, really, if it's to be, it's up to me. And it doesn't mean you have to do the work, but if you want that team to be doing what you want them to do, then you actually need to make it happen. You need to train them to make it happen. And it's the same thing with, your cash flow, with your, you know, anything. If you're going to have that success, then it's up to you. So if it's to be, it's up to me. That's my my one. Yep. And apply it to every area of your life. Every area. If you're going to be fit and healthy, it's up to you. If you're going to have money in the bank, it's up to you. If you're going to take that holiday that you've been putting off, then it's up to you. So
yep. Great advice. Cool. All right. What book or webinar or podcast that do you listen to, or have you been inspired by in the past that you think salon owners need to listen to or read?
Of course, listen to yours, Larissa.
Of course.
You're the number one. definitely. I'm a bit of a serial stalker of a lot of different people. I do love Carissa Hill. I think that what she's doing for our industry is amazing. And she's so onto it. So I sort of do, you know, I watch her YouTube clips, and for me, it's probably more just live groups. Like I'm quite new to the podcast arena, I'll be honest. And I'm being a very visual person. If it's a book or an ebook or something, I lose interest. So for me, I like to watch live videos, and so Carissa Hill I watch and listen to, you know, quite a bit. There's a few. I mean, your stuff is probably at the forefront because you're so regular that it's like just it becomes a thing. But I like to listen because then I can have my headset on and my phone in my back pocket, and I can be cooking dinner and listening at the same time.
Yeah.
So if I have to sit and watch or read, then I will get distracted. I'm quite easily distracted.
Yep.
So I like to multitask my learning, and if I can be driving and listening, or cooking and listening, or whatever I'm doing and listening, then that's sort of my thing.
So, I have to agree with you. I mean, it's actually why I chose to do a podcast over anything else, because from my own experience, I need to multitask. If I sit to read a book, I'll start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or the kids need me or something. I need to be on the move. I don't stop during the day, and it's the only way I can get the input.
Yeah, exactly.
And we are visual people, but at the same time, I think that convenience overweighs the visual input.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. So, look, pretty much if I'm on Facebook and if something live pops up, if it's somebody that I know or respect or is doing a good job, I'll just jump in and listen. It could be anybody, really. yeah, that's pretty much.
And then there's always something. Do you have you noticed now that the way that it works, you know, you watch a video of somebody and then there's something that's relative straight after it. And I can end up for, you know, 20 minutes can go by and I've been watching, you know, multiple videos and before I know I've gone off to another land. But I like it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with the salon owners of the world. I really appreciate your time, Christy.
It's my pleasure.
Where can people find you and get more of the awesome stuff that you're doing?
Oh, yeah. So, look, I have my website, so secretsalonsociety.com.au. I also have a Facebook owners group called the Secret Salon Owners Society, and you can join that from the website. There's a link straight from the website. So it's probably the two main ways.
And look, I encourage you to go and jump into that Facebook group. It's a fantastic, if you're talking about, you know, you were talking about your tribe and being around people that are going through the things that you're going through, or you need some support, it's a fantastic group for that. So I encourage you to go and, for you that's listening, to go in and find it and jump in amongst it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's so there is, I've got a little app coming out too, so that'll be announced soon, but that will be a way for you to have a little daily dose of inspiration. So if you jump over to the website and keep your eye out, that will pop out. But the Facebook group's awesome. I love the Facebook group.
Yeah, you're doing a great job there. And you are also doing a great job making some changes in the industry. So good for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us today. And I'll see you next week at Expo.
No problems at all. Thanks, Larissa.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.